Well, as I poured over chapter 3 and into chapter 4 in Thessalonians, I just sought the Lord for what he had for us from this passage. God has something from every passage of his word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. It comes out of the mouth of God. And when I looked at the overall picture that was given here, what came to my mind was growing. It was growing, that there ought to be growing. And there's a little phrase that he uses in this passage here in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, you should abound more and more. If you're not growing, you're stagnating. We have a little girl home, and Marika, and my little granddaughter, she's almost walking. She's almost walking on her own. She walks, we hold her hand, she steps out. When she gets done, she sits down and claps. She's beautiful. She's cute. She's amazing. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, the way she just scoots across the floor, crawling this way, crawling that way, crawling that way. And I know that within a short period of time, that phase will be over forever for her. It'll be over, right? Now, part of me kind of says, gee, I don't know if I really want that to be over yet, because she's so cute, right? Crawling on the floor. What's that?
Very precious
at that age. Oh, so precious. Every moment counts, and you never have those moments back. But I think that there would be some grave concerns if 5 years later she was still crawling across the floor.
That's right.
Maybe long before that, right? Because we want our children to grow. We love where they are in some ways, but we still want them to grow. We want them to go forward, and so does God in our lives. He wants us to grow. It is not normal or natural for Christians to profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and to stay the same. We are not meant to stay the same. We're meant to grow further and deeper in our faith and in our walk with God, in how we relate to the Lord. We're meant to go deeper in our relationship with him. We're meant to go stronger in our walk. We're meant to put away childish things, as Paul writes and says, you know, as he spoke to the Corinthians at one point. He said, I wanted to feed you with meat, but you weren't ready. I had to keep giving you milk. He says that to the Hebrews as well. So what do we do here? God wants us to abound, and he wants us to abound more and more in all of our situations and relationships. And we'll see that theme running through chapter 11 and into chapter 3 and into chapter 4. So he says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Before, he was saying Satan had hindered us from getting there. He longed to be with them, but he longed to be with them because he wanted them to grow. He wanted them to go farther. And if there's anything, if a pastor's heart doesn't have that passion and desire to see people grow, to see them go deeper in their walk with God, then there's something missing there. Because you just want that. Parent wants that for their children. And so why wouldn't a good shepherd want that for their children? And I want you to know that's what the Lord wants for us. He says here, may the Lord make you increase. He wants an increase in your experience. Have you settled for a certain level of Christianity? Have you settled for where you are and not thinking about going deeper with God? Are you content to have the little prayer in the morning, a little prayer in the evening, and a whisper of prayer in the morning, whisper of prayer at noon, whisper of prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune? Is that it? Is that Christianity? Or does it go deeper than that? Is it praying without ceasing? Is it saying to the Lord, Lord, take me deeper? We're going through Philippians in Shetty Camp, and we're at the passage where Paul says, I count everything but loss that I may win Christ, that I may know him. And so last week we looked at knowing him. This week we looked at his resurrection power. That there are things to know about God. There are deeper places to walk in your relationship with God than where you are. And it doesn't matter how advanced you are. You've only scratched the surface of the greatness of God and the depth of Almighty God, because the Bible actually tells us if we were filled with the love of Christ, the height, the depth, the width of it, we would be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm not there yet. Some of you might be, but I'm not there yet. And so I want to go deeper. I want to grow in my walk with God. And in the process of that growth, I'm going to experience things. And here, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to them about these things, he says, may the Lord make you increase. And praise God that it is God that makes you increase. It is God who does this. As we're willing to say, yes, Lord, do what you want with my life, he will make you increase. You can't do this on your own. But if there's a hunger in you and a desire in your heart tonight to say, I want to go deeper with God. I want to go deeper in my relationship with him. I want to fall in love with him more than I have ever been. I want these things in my experience. If there's some kind of heart cry from you, do you think God will turn you away from that? I don't think so. But if there's an indifference, and if we just carry on and say, well, you know, yesterday was like today, and today will be like tomorrow, and, you know, I have a relationship with God, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, and, you know, I pray once in a while, and you know, I try to love him, and I try to be a good person, and that isn't what God is asking for you. God is saying, come all the way with me. Come deeper with me. Come apart from the world. Seek my face. Count everything but loss that I may win Christ. And that is not just the day I got saved that I'm counting everything but loss that I may gain Christ. That is daily counting everything but loss that I may win Christ. That is putting Christ first in my heart, in my passions, in my desires, in my life every single day. You want to go deeper? There is a cost involved, of course. But that cost is nothing. It's rubbish. That's what Paul called it. Just rubbish compared to the greatness and the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. So go deeper. Let's grow. And this is what he said, I pray that you would increase and abound in your love to one another and to all just as we do to you. Now he already spoke about what an incredibly loving church this was, didn't he? Chapter 1 spoke about the beautiful church of Thessalonica. It was wonderful. And then it really, chapter 2 shows the beauty of the servant of God, is what we looked at. And now, as we look at this passage here, we see that it may be true that God has done wonderful things in your experience and in your life. But don't just think that that's the end of the story. It's the beginning of it. You know, salvation, the day you're saved, is the beginning of a new book. It's a whole new chapter, new life. And the book is still being written. So, you know, who would want to pick up a book? You start off and, oh, wow, something exciting has happened here. A dramatic change has taken place. And then you start flipping through the pages and there's nothing there. Nothing new. Well, what I got to do? Read the first chapter over and over again? No second chapter? No third chapter? Hey, this is a huge book. This book of your life. This book of your life is an exciting life. Because it's with God and it's an adventure. Don't miss the next chapter. Don't stop. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Enjoy him. Get to know him. And so he says, I want you to increase and abound in your love to one another and to all just as we do to you, even though that was already the case, so that he may establish your hearts. There's a plan for it in the middle of this. I think I jumped ahead. Yes, I did. Okay, I knew that I was somewhere in the middle of this sermon, so I'm going to have to go back to verse 1. As Paul says, even though we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. And I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Now remember, this church was an exemplary in their faith and in their walk, and they heard about it. But he wrote, he said, I don't want you to be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, you would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. So you know, you've been there, you're experiencing it. And so Paul writes to them, he says, I was so concerned for you that I was willing to be alone in Athens, and it was a sacrifice for him, because I wanted you guys, to have Timothy come and encourage you and find out how you're doing. Because there's a lot of persecution and trial that you're going through. He knew what they were experiencing. Everywhere Paul went to plant churches, tremendous persecution and affliction came upon those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. It came from the Jewish quarter because they hated Jesus Christ. They wanted the people to be circumcised. They wanted to keep them in the old way instead of living by faith. It came from the Gentile quarters because they claimed to worship the only true God. And that meant all the other gods that people worshiped were out of the picture. And that was a great offense because each person had their favorite gods. And they were their favorite gods. So they would go to worship at those temples. And that was the whole culture of the day. And they all of a sudden, becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, put you out of sync with the Jewish culture, but it put you out of sync with the Gentile culture as well. And so they were persecuted and they were afflicted. Thank you, Margie. And here, Paul writes to me. He says, I sent Timothy. I want him to encourage you concerning your faith. I don't want you to be shaken by these afflictions. I already told you this would happen. And I want to tell you that if you walk with Jesus Christ, you're going to experience some affliction. We already talked about that last week. Don't go looking for affliction, but expect it. And don't be also surprised if there's people that hate the gospel and hate what you're doing, if you're going to stand up for Jesus Christ. Stand up for him anyway. And so he said, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it. In other words, Paul says, I couldn't stand it any longer. I just said, I've got to send somebody. I sent to know your faith. Lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and your labor might be in vain. Now the Apostle Paul went into Thessalonica. He wasn't there very long. There was a mass turning to the Lord and these folks seemed to be growing and going. But he was concerned. Maybe some of them were like the seed that fell on the stony ground. He didn't know. So he says, I was concerned that the tempter might tempt you and our labor be in vain. Now, of course, he wasn't talking about in every circumstance, in every person. But he says, I wanted to confirm you. I wanted to make sure that you were going forward with the Lord. And so I sent Timothy to find out. Because the tempter does come along. Have anyone ever been derailed in our Christian walk for a period of time by the tempter? Haven't we? Of course we have. And of course, he's there to do this. There is a devil who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we need to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit that we might find ourselves in victory over him. But Paul finds out, he said, when Timothy came to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and of your love, and that you've always good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. The bonds were strong. The bonds were strong between the Thessalonians and the Lord and also with the Apostle Paul. He was greatly encouraged and said it was good news. And it was the good news of your faith and of your love. Well, we know that temptations and trials come to us. We know that afflictions are part of the Christian walk. We know that there are times when we are tempted by the devil. Jesus was. We're not going to be exempt. But we also have this glorious promise from 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There is always a way of escape with God. Even that, if that's true, then we should never fail. Why would we fail? We don't take the way. That's right. Pretty obvious, isn't it? The way of escape is always there. To walk away from temptation. To find what we need. Strength in time of need. The very person of Jesus Christ has come to live in you in the person of the Holy Spirit and enable you to live and walk in victory over sin. That's that resurrection power that he gives us. A power that is far greater than any power in this world or beyond it. Greater than all the powers of every demon that walked on the face of the planet is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and that resurrection power is yours. Now that's a way of escape, right? To trust God, to see who he is. Oh, we need to go deeper with God so that our eyes are open so we can see there's victory in Jesus, as we sung tonight. There's victory in Jesus Christ. And I praise his name that there is, that God is faithful, that he provides provision, he makes a way. So, brothers, in all our afflictions and distresses, we're comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Paul is just pouring out his heart here, pouring out, saying, look, we live if you stand fast in the Lord. It's life for us to hear that you're walking with God. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Oh, gee, if those guys would read this, man, he's praising us up like crazy. We got all kinds of faith. We got all kinds of love. And now he's saying we're lacking in faith. Sure, because I'll tell you what, when you grow in your walk with God, when you experience what it is to trust him, you understand how weak you are. And you understand, Lord, there's much more higher ground for me to walk on here. There's a deeper faith for me to experience. Yes, I can depend on him in this moment, but oh, I need him the next moment. And God will allow the circumstances, the afflictions, the trials, and yes, even the temptations to come our way. He will allow those things to happen that our faith might be deeper and deeper and deeper still. Doesn't he tell us in 1 Peter that the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perishes? That he permits us to be in trial and he permits us to have trouble in our life, but in the process that our faith grows, I can say to you tonight, my faith is lacking. Maybe yours is perfect, but mine is lacking. My faith is lacking, and yet at the same time, I rejoice in the faith that I have, but I rejoice in the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I could ask or think. And though, even though there's times I don't believe it, not in practical terms, but yet he brings me back to trusting him and then trusting him more. As that old song says, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. And yet at the same time, the songwriter says, but oh, for grace to trust him more. May I grow in faith. May I grow in dependence upon God. May I lean on him more than I ever have. May I really understand that his strength is perfect when my strength is gone. And often it takes that. It takes me to be just the feet kicked out from under me, that I have no choice but to depend on God, and then I find him reliable. But often I will try, first of all, to see what I can do and then see if God can finish up the work. Doesn't work that way. What's that? Yeah, but it's not the best way. But may we grow. May we grow. This is what Paul said. Night and day praying exceedingly, may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. And then he says this. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Says Paul, you can see the passion that he has here. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. That's where I was before, right? Yes. So increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts. That is, there's this desire for them. Now, these are young believers. They're young believers, and they've been through a lot already, and they've grown a lot. And Paul's amazed and excited about how they've grown. But he says there's a lot more to come, and he wants us established. He wants you firm. He doesn't want you tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. He wants you established in your walk. He wants you established in your home. He wants you established in the workplace, established as a Christian who walks with Christian principles. Boy, I tell you, what's that? Oh, if you're not established in the Word, how are you going to grow? How are you going to go? How are you going to share? How are you going to live this Christianity if the Word of God is not paramount in your experience? And look, some of us are good readers and some of us are terrible readers. But if you don't read well, get it on tape. Don't use tape. They don't use tape anymore. But get it on electronics. Get it on your phone. Listen to the Word of God. Whatever way you can access, make it your priority. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Play the Bible when you're working. Put it in your headphones and in your Bluetooth or whatever, and listen to the Word of God. Listen to Christian music, yes, but take time to hear the Scriptures, because you'll grow. Listen to sermons. Find good preachers and listen to their sermons. There's some good preachers out there. There's a lot of them. And listen to them and get blessed. Because he says, so that he may establish your hearts. And then he says this, blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. blameless and holy. Now, in the given moment, I don't have to be living in sin, but it's easy to fall. So God, the challenge is that I would grow and go deeper with God, so that at the day that I see him face to face, he is going to make me blameless. He is going to have me holy, absolutely perfected when I see him face to face. But the goal should be that every single day that I'm growing in holiness, that I'm growing in my walk, that I'm not sinless, but I sure do need to be sinning less. Make sense? That's the call of God on your life. And so don't stay in a rut. Don't stop. Move forward in your Christianity. Call on the name of the Lord. Look for him to bring those to pass in our life. And so he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, finally then, brothers, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus, you should abound more and more. Just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. How did you receive the Lord in the first place? And by faith. By depending on God. It was your simple step of faith, trusting him that he died for your sins, that salvation came. And I want you to know that it is by faith that every single part of your walk will be. The just shall live by faith. That's the only way you can live Christianity is by faith. Oh, how wonderful, how glorious it is when the moment that you, by faith, simply trust Christ for the salvation of your soul. Some of you can remember that time and say, thank you, God. Hallelujah. This morning, as I spoke with a lady who has told me about 2 weeks ago, I'm ready. It's time. It's time. And so this morning we got together, or this afternoon actually, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. What joy in her heart and soul. To be able to say yes to Jesus Christ unreservedly, facing difficulties and knowing that it's going to cost everything to follow Jesus Christ, and yet weeping with joy. She's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like it to see someone come to new faith and new life in Jesus Christ, to be born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. And yet, that wonderful experience of trusting God and seeing the results of it and knowing that your sins are forgiven, that is our experience. It can be ours daily as we trust the Lord and we abound more and more in him. Because I can trust him for this. If I can trust him for the salvation of my soul, can I not trust him for everything else in my life? I mean, I've trusted him for the hard thing. But what's harder than the saving of your own soul? Nothing else could do it. But he was sufficient for that. Is he not sufficient for the problem or the trial that you face? Is he not sufficient for the trials? Is he not sufficient for the evangelism of the Highlands here? He's sufficient for it. Let's believe him for it. Let's grow in our faith. Let's take steps in that direction. Let's grow in our faith in our proclamation of the gospel, trusting that God will use it somehow, even if somebody beats our head in the process. Not saying that's going to happen, but you know what I'm saying. Trust the Lord. Let's trust Jesus, because we want it to abound. It should abound more and more. God wants you to grow. He does. And praise the Lord that we can grow, that the opportunity is ours in Jesus Christ to go deeper with God. And I just give him praise for that. Just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. And then he gives a few practical things. And one of them, what he gives us here is an indication that we should always be cautious about sin. We should always be careful about sin. We shouldn't allow sin to creep into our experience and make excuses for it, because if we do, that will not be holiness advancing. Holiness advancing is being aware of what sin is and avoiding it like the plague, running from it. And so he says, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. It was so predominant and prevalent in their culture. We think that sexual immorality has really gone crazy in the last number of years. It was crazy in the Roman Empire. It was absolutely the same situation that we're facing now, and even more so in public and in everything else, from homosexual practices to people who are rich having their little boys to play with. All of these kinds of ugly, horrible things were ongoing in the Roman Empire and spread throughout the Gentile nations in the Roman Empire. It was filthy in conduct. And they grew up in that culture. They lived that culture. And now they become believers in Jesus Christ. And all of this was now wrong. It's a shocking thing to come to those conclusions and understand it and see it that way, and then to walk away from it and not be involved in it any longer. And the temptation would be there, you may be sure. The devil would be at work, working and seeking to bring people back into that culture and into that kind of sinful lifestyle. And so Paul was addressing an issue that was not a small issue. It was something they had come out of. And people who are in sexual bondage today, when they become Christians, they have a struggle. It's not easy. When people get involved in pornography, and I can tell you this, pornography is just a desperate curse on our children. It is. And I have had to deal with young people who have gone through terrible circumstances already because they have gotten involved in pornography, and it's a hard struggle to get out of it. Boy, to avoid it like the plague in the first place is what's so vitally important. And the percentage of young people that are involved in pornography now has just skyrocketed because of the availability of it. But that was the culture that they were living in as well. And now they become new creatures in Christ, and yet the call is there to come back to this way of life and be involved in it, and everybody else is doing it, and etc., etc. And Paul is writing to them and saying, I'm warning you and I'm encouraging you that you need to grow deeper with God, and you need to avoid these things like the plague, because they'll suck you down and pull the life right out of you. And it speaks about a whole culture that's involved in this, and that not only does it affect you, that it would that your vessel, there he's speaking of your body, that it will affect you, but it will affect everybody else too. No one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testify, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. The whole church is affected by one person's sin. Everybody else is affected. That's the thing with some of these sins that are secret and nobody sees. God sees, and it affects everyone else. It pulls them down. That's why he speaks about a brother being defrauded in this matter. Because God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Spirit. But concerning, and this he speaks about, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. That is, rejects the teaching that Paul was saying, that sexual immorality has no place. But listen, no sin has any place. No sin. Don't make excuse for it. Don't hold on to it. But trust the living God. This is part of growing. Part of growing is walking away from sin. Part of growing is seeing where sin lies at the door and saying no, and turning to the living God and trusting him. We no longer live in that way. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Indeed, you do so toward all the brothers who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, that you increase, what does it say?
More and more.
More and more. Oh, friends, there's more. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life. Now he gives some practical statements here. Aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. There you go. Yeah. Pastor told you today, mind your own business. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Very practical instructions. And that is to take your life, aspire to live this way. Aspire to be a person who is not a busybody in other people's matters, whose ears don't sharpen whenever you hear a conversation across the room, and you want to know everything that those people are doing, and everything that those people are doing, and everything that those people are doing over there, and then probably letting a few people know about it before the day is out. Mind your own business. That's what he says to do. And there's a reason why he says it, because it's easy to be a gossiper, isn't it? It's easy to listen for a juicy morsel from someone. Instead, live a quiet life. Work with your own hands as we commanded you. Later on in 2 Thessalonians, he says, if a person doesn't work, don't let him eat. And of course, we're not talking about looking after people who have needs and they can't work for themselves. But he is talking about people who are freeloaders, and says, and so he certainly says we don't want freeloaders in the church. We want everybody in the church, but we don't want them to keep on freeloading. Not if they can work, they should work, and not try to just get stuff from others. And he says it for a reason. You may walk properly towards those who are without, and that you may lack nothing. That you're honorable in your walk, that the world sees a difference in your Christianity. So he gives these practical instructions to avoid fornication. He gives practical instructions to how you live, how you work, and how you treat others. And he also says you may lack nothing, that you have what you need in order to do what you do with your life. So my encouragement to you tonight is to go and grow. Increase in your walk with God. Look for every way. Be diligent about your life. Be diligent about what you do. Maybe there's changes that need to happen in how you speak to people and how you conduct yourself. I'm still learning, and I'm still learning that I need to change in some areas in my experience. Maybe it's a sin in your life that you've allowed just to be there for a long time. Don't allow it. There's a time to say, no, Lord, no longer can I do this, because I want to grow deeper with God. I want to count everything but loss that I may know him, his resurrection power, in the fellowship of his sufferings, and that I might be conformed to his death. I want to encourage you, go deeper with God. Don't miss what there is there. Everything else is rubbish compared to this. And I praise God that we're encouraged to go in this direction. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we pray, Lord, that we would. We would seek your face, O God. We would, Lord, not sit back, but that rather we would pursue you, Lord. That we would be found in the pursuit of God every single day. That it would be our hunger, our passion, and our desire to know you more. And that, Lord, we would grow in holiness. We would grow in love. We would grow in faith. And, Lord, that we would just fall in love with you afresh, Lord. Seeking you, knowing you, walking with you. May you be first in our hearts, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.